clients every year. Call the W Tax Group today and get experience nationwide tax resolution on your side. Call us at 855-346-1788. Again, 855-346-1788.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second half hour of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Is it in the Bible, the current state of affairs going on in Israel? Is it in the Bible? Was it foretold by the prophets?
Or another way of saying this is the Israel of the Bible and all the prophecy concerning Israel. Is it the Israel of today? See, nobody can deny when you read the Old Testament or the Bible, the Israel, the prophecies are just all throughout the Bible. But a lot of Christians are saying, and a lot of Protestant Christians, virtually all of Roman Catholicism, their interpretation there has been something called amillennial, that they believe that there's no literal millennium, and that the literal sense of the promises in the Old Testament is wrong. You don't take it literally. These are allegorical or spiritual, that they are now fulfilled in the church. And a lot of Christians, Protestant Christians, believe that. Now, Baptists, no. I've never really believed that. They have not. But a lot of Protestants have. Now, there was a time, even 10 years ago, when the vast majority of evangelical / fundamental Christianity believed that that Israel would get the land and it would be theirs by right, that God promised this land and you should interpret the Bible literally. But in the last 10 years, there's been almost a gigantic shift. This is where the anti-Semitism is coming now. It's not just from the left, it's from the extreme right. I'm not going to throw out words like Nazism, but it sounds like it. It kind of sounds like it. That if you've heard this from the conspiratorial right, that the Jewish international bankers have been running the world for so long, they finance both sides of every war, and that they have convinced Christians, they're funding all these people like Rusty Chatfield, that to teach this new idea that we should read the Bible and interpret it literally. Hey, if they sure ain't been paying their bills if they've been funding me, I tell you that. They're not funding me, but there's such conspiracies that they're funding this, and you bought into this gigantic lie. No, I simply pick up the Bible and read it and take it face value. It is simply that, it is really that simple. But now that teaching is now, due to a lot of podcasts and guys that get on there that know less about, this is just kind of dumbfounding to me, Randy. I see these podcasts, people talking about history and or theology, and they know, I've forgotten more about American history than they know. But they get on there and they say something, and then people in my own church listen to it. And they believe it. I've run into lots of younger people that say, well, I did research, and this is true? I said, that's not true. I mean, they're Holocaust deniers. They basically deny almost all of American history that we've been taught. And they're revisionists, and it's frustrating to me.
Well,
but it is the way
it
is.
I think the biggest offender participant has been Tucker Carlson, because I'm getting a lot of text messages about what Tucker is saying. Tucker is right, et cetera, et cetera. My question is this: what you're saying versus what they're saying. You're saying the Bible is the Bible. That's the word of God.
Right.
Literal interpretation of what's in the written word. What they're saying is that there's been an evolution over the years from the bloodlines of Jesus, of the Jewish people, and what they were dealing with in dealing with the Romans at the time Jesus walked the earth, compared to the Jews, the current occupants of Israel today. They're saying a transformation is somewhere, somehow, through the lineage has taken place. Is that an accurate thought?
Yeah. Yes. Now, listen, there's people, I don't know exactly what they're texting you, but I'm sure they would say, hey, I believe the Bible. This guy, Chatfield, he's not interpreting the Bible accurately. That's what they would say. And I will grant you that there are some things need to be explained. And I could, if I have time, I'll get to some of it. But I pick up the Bible and read it at face value. At face value. And now when a person says, okay, the Jews living there in Israel, they're not the Israeli Jews of the Bible. I mean, how do I disprove that? How do I disprove that? How do I disprove it when they say the Holocaust wasn't that bad? How do I disprove it? I mean, pick up a book, watch the videos. How do you prove to somebody that the Holocaust was terrible? And by the way, Hitler and the Jews themselves, when they had to put on the Star of David, I mean, they were murdered for being Jewish or being Israelis. They were murdered for that. They didn't say, I'm not a Jew. My bloodline's been messed up. They didn't say that. It is what it is. So how do I disprove what they're saying? Now let me say this. A lot of them will say this, and you've heard me talk about the word dispensationalism. There's a guy, John Darby, 1830s, that really came up and used the word dispensationalism. And I just made up my mind today. I said, I'm going to just discard that. I always called myself a moderate dispensationalist, but a lot of the things that Darby taught concerning dispensationalism, yeah, I don't.
What does that mean? What does that word mean?
That God deals with different people, different times, in different ways, and that the church and Israel are totally separate. Well, yes, sort of. Yes, no, kind of. I like that. There is a sense in which that the church is the Israel of God. The Bible says that. But there's another sense in which God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. That Israel will be restored, and that God has not abandoned the people according to the flesh. Israelis, the physical relatives of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was a Jew. And all the Old Testament prophecies are going to be fulfilled literally in the land of Israel. You can't do that. Now, I've got a guy that I respect and most even covenant theologians respect, and Calvinists, this guy named Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was a contemporary with Darby, but rejected dispensationalism. Dispensationalism, I can't explain it at all, but I mean, he went way, way, way too far. He would say that people in the Old Testament were saved by works. People in the New Testament are saved by grace and faith. It's different. And I say, no way. Old Testament saints are not really, they're second-class saints. The church is what it's about, and the church is the made up of the redeemed from the time of Pentecost to the rapture of the church. And what about Old Testament saints? Well, they're not a part of the church. I say that the church is composed of all the redeemed of all ages. All the redeemed of all ages make up the church. And you cannot, there is a sense in which Israel, listen, Jesus said everybody must be born again, whether you're Jew or Gentile, bond or free. In that sense, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Yeah. But that doesn't mean God has cast away the nation, the nationhood, the people of Israel. No, those are two different concepts. Let me go over this. I got this from a guy named Dennis Swanson. Here are the nine things that about Israel that Charles Haddon Spurgeon taught, believed, and I believe it. One, Israel as a nation will come to faith in Christ. At the end of the Great Tribulation, they will come to faith in Christ. Two, Israel will have a national or geographical identity. This is important because Spurgeon did not, he was no disciple of Darby. He was not a dispensationalist. He was not, he thought that Darby went way, way, way overboard and was teaching false things. But he did read the Bible. Three, the political system will be a monarchy, a king shall reign. That I wonder about, but if you take it literally, a king shall reign. That the main point is literally. Four, Israel will be in the promised land. That is the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. Yes, that's their land. It's literally theirs. Five, the borders will correspond to the promises given to Abraham and David. Yeah, little borders. And we can know what those borders are from what the Bible teaches. Six, Israel will hold a special place among the nations in the millennial kingdom. Jesus Christ will come back and set up a thousand-year reign in Jerusalem, literal Jerusalem, and Israel will be a special nation. Now watch this. Seven, however, Israel will remain spiritually part of the church. Listen, every Jew has to be born again, just like every Gentile has to be born again. When I say that Israel's a special nation, I don't say that, they're Jews. They don't need to be saved. They don't need faith in Jesus Christ. Absolutely not. I don't teach that. The Bible does not teach that. No way. Everybody, Jew, Gentile, bond, free, male, female, they all have to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ and be born again. Now, but yes, like say I'm in Israel, and that is the land of Israel, and I support Israel. But I could go to a church that's made up of Jewish Christians, and I'm at one with them, even though I'm not of the nation of Israel. There is a spiritual Israel, which is comprised of all people that are born again. And there's no distinctions of race, of gender, of national origin. No distinction. None. It's like if I go to Mexico, and there's Christians in Mexico or Bangladesh or India. I can identify with those Christians in those countries. I'm at one with them. We're all part of the redeemed, the Church of Jesus Christ. Even though I'm not a Mexican, and a Mexican's not an American, and we got to have borders, but within the framework of spirituality, I'm at one with them. You follow that? You got to make a distinction there. That's important. Israel remains spiritually part of the church, and I'll finish this up on the other side.
Excellent spot for a break. I got another text message coming into your phone. Short break, we'll be right back.
We've all heard about the major systems in our bodies, like the digestive, respiratory, nervous, and cardiovascular systems. But there's one essential system discovered in the 90s that you probably never heard of. It makes all of the other systems work smoothly with each other, like a conductor ensuring the different sections of an orchestra all play a beautiful symphony together. This system is called the endocannabinoid system. It has been acknowledged and studied by scientists extensively with support from the National Institutes of Health. As we age, the system weakens. As a result, the different systems in our body stop working together smoothly. That's one of the reasons older adults struggle with pain, inflammation, cognitive decline, and other ailments of aging, for which doctors often prescribe dangerous and addictive pharmaceuticals. But here's the game changer. The system can be restored faster using hemp-derived CBD. When the system is restored, pain subsides, sleep is improved, and stress is reduced. When the system is restored, disease progression can slow down, and years are added to your life, as well as years spent in good health. And 20% of seniors are already using CBD today for pain, arthritis, cancer symptoms, sleep disorders, Alzheimer's, and many other ailments of aging.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people, and even our pets, have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877 877- 830-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement: to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you. Doesn't matter what you do, girl, with you. No matter what you do.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Pastor Chatfield, I sent you a text message, and what Mike is asking.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Let me ask the question first.
Okay.
Okay. He says, what does Pastor Chatfield think the Jews will do when Jesus comes back? Will they deny him again?
No, not again. Those Jews, Israelis, who survived the Great Tribulation, but a lot of them will be killed. The Bible says, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. They will see Jesus again, and they'll somehow recognize him as the Messiah that they rejected 2,000 years ago, and they'll be saved. And then the Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved. Listen, I am not saying right now, today, 2026, that every Jew, oh, they're the chosen of God. No, I'm not saying that. They're not saved. If your faith is not in Jesus Christ, you're not saved. I'm simply saying that they are a special nation in God's economy. It is true. I know. He says, well, most Jews don't believe in Jesus, and they believe Jesus was a deceiver. True. Yeah. For the most part, not all, but for the most part, most Jewish people do not believe in Jesus right now. They're in a state of unbelief. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That is true. But that won't be the case forever. See, we have to separate this whole idea. Here's one of the fundamental differences. I don't believe that the church and Israel are the same, but I don't believe that I don't believe that you can say that Old Testament saints or Jewish saints or Gentile saints are better than the other. Everybody whose faith is in Jesus Christ is part of what we call the body of Christ. Now, their nationhood is a different subject. It's a different subject. When I go to Israel, I pass out tracts. And I told you this story, but I gave it to a Jewish clerk. And on my track, it says, God loves you. And he looked at it and he says, I don't need this. I'm Jewish. See, that's the problem with a lot of Jewish people. Oh, I'm of the seed of Abraham. I don't need faith in Jesus Christ. I don't need a Savior. Whoa, what a terrible mistake that is. Listen, you're a sinner who needs to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ like every other Gentile. They need to be saved. And then most of them are not saved. So in that sense, no, they're not the people of God. But they're a special nation in God's economy. And he has not cast away his people, which he foreknew, Israel. And that's in Romans 9, 10, 11, it specifically says Israel. So they need to be saved. No, they're not saved now. And I do believe that the promise to God, to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, I believe that's still valid. Even though Israel's in a state of unbelief, and most of them do have not their faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's true. But I'm still going to bless them. I'm still going to say, you know, as Paul wrote again, he says, for our sakes, they're enemy for the gospel's sake. Yeah, they stand against the gospel, but they're beloved for the Father's sake. They're still beloved of the Father. They're still special. It doesn't mean they're saved, that they, when they die, they go to heaven. Doesn't mean
right,
that.
Right, right. He's bringing up a difference between there is Gentile and Goyim, G-O-Y-I-M. I don't know what he's talking about. Are you familiar with that term, Goyim?
I know. Yes, but I couldn't give you a good definition of that.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because as we wrap up this war, this thing going on prior to the election, I believe Donald Trump is going to do something. I think he may actually just go in and just start blowing up bridges and electric grids and just bringing them to their knees to just basically force the real people of Persia, the descendants of Persia, to step up and take back their country, to end this conflict with these crazy people running the Iranian Republican Guard. I'm hoping before the election. If not, it's going to cost them dearly. We're going to lose in a landslide because simply the price of gasoline. It's driving up diesel fuel and it's driving up food prices.
Here's the problem. A lot of the Republican base now is, if you oppose what I'm teaching here today, you probably want us to get out of Israel, excuse me, the United States, to get out of Iran yesterday. Get out. Just get out. It had nothing to do with anything. Just get out. Which I don't think, even if the Bible wasn't true, I still wouldn't say get out. I mean, just look at the geopolitical world. But that's why this is so important, because there's a large percentage of people who say just get out. And to me, even if you don't believe what I have taught, and I believe, I'm firmly convinced the Bible teaches, even if you don't believe it, I would still say President Trump is doing what's best for the United States of America. But there's a big war going on in the Republican Party between the likes of, say, J.D. Vance and Mike Huckabee, and maybe Marco Rubio is kind of more with Huckabee, and there's a big argument going on there. And really, yeah. It's based in theology. It's based in your understanding of what we talked about today.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. And I hope the right thing happens and the right people get elected. I've talked about it. I'm going to have a scholar on next week giving us some training on Sharia law and Islamic jihad, because we just can't afford to have Abdul Rahman Mohammed El-Sayed to be the next U.S. Senator from Michigan. So with that, right. Pray for us.
Amen.
Pray for us.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate the effort. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you. Very good. For listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life.